That was the recording from the 12th cycle, today's Daf Yomi. Here is the recording of the previous cycle, cycle number 11 of the equivalent Daf. Quite a different ambience, quite a different attendance. You may like to review the Daf with it, or perhaps use it as your actual initial learning. Enjoy. Today's Daf is Masechet Chulin, Daf Pe Chet. So, we're holding here on Daf Pei Zayin Amud Beit. Yesterday we discussed the question of what is considered to be blood, where there's a separation of the actual hemoglobin contents from the plasma. And we said as long as it's still reddish, it has a din of blood, although it still requires the amount of red blood that it would have. So we need to have a little bit more plasma to include it. But today, and this is now five lines up from the bottom, today we learn a similar halacha, which takes us further out. And that is Tznan Hata. This is, although it's a Tznan, as we've seen many times, Tznan includes sometimes a Braita. Kol mashke hamet tahorin chutz midamo. V'chol mar'e admumit shebo mitam'in ba'ohel. So here the second part is why we got into this, and that is dam of a mate is metame, and any reddish remnant color gives it still a din of dam, and therefore would be metame ba'ol. Now this, as we said yesterday, we learned that may be true, but it may require a revi'it. But in any event, and that revi'it means not revi'it of plasma, but revi'it of full blood. So maybe you would need two revi'ot or three revi'ot, depending on how red the coloration was. But the first part, kol mashke hamet tahorin, this is a new issue. And what this refers to, we have mashke, and it's important to note up at the beginning, we have mashke that is considered to be a just liquid. And obviously when we say mashke hamet, we don't mean liquefied body. That's something else which we'll talk about another context, but we mean mashkin from a living body. Now, there's two types of mashkin. There's what's known as mashka, let's say, the tears or sweat. There's mashke that is known as ma'ayan. And the difference between them is that, let's say, a zav, who is metame with his ma'ayanot. His ma'ayanot would include his spit, would include his urine, would include, obviously, the ziva itself, or we have shechva zera, which is always metame. A ma'ayan is a liquid that's excreted from the body after having been collected somewhere. So that, whether that somewhere is a bladder, or prostate, or whatever it is, it's considered to be a ma'ayan. In a zav, that would be metame, it's an avatuma. But these other liquids would not be considered to be a ma'ayan, and there the rabbanan were gozer, nonetheless, a tuma. And here it's saying that in the mashkin of a mate, which would include things like tears, which were metame in a zav, would not be metame in a mate, meaning even mitarabanan. And therefore, we ask immediately, is that true? Ashkeh ha-meit tahorin? V'raminu, does it not say beferish that the mashke of a tful yom would mean that he's already gone to the mikveh and needs to wait now only until the sun sets in order to become tahor, that mashke is exactly the same as mashke that this tful yom would have touched directly. So whether it comes out of his body and he's crying, his tears, or he touches water, these have the same din. So this guy was tamei, went to the mikveh, he's still considered to be metame, but remember he only passes. Tvuyom is his kal from other tumas, no matter how it started. He's going to be tar tonight, or be tar at the end of whatever period it is that requires him to wait. And at that point, I mean, there could be a tful yom that's considered to be a tful yom for the next 30 days, like a yoledet, and so on. But it means you're waiting for the time for the sun to set, so to speak. So all of those mashkin have the same din as mashkin that were touched by a tful yom. Kamashka shenogea behem. Ve'elu ein mitam'in. Now, the only way to work this out, if the gear says mitam'in, is Aliba, the way Tosafos understands it, even though they would be Makabel Tuma, because, and that would mean that they're Truma, because Chulin is Bechlal, not Makabel Tuma, from a Tvulyon, but they cannot be Metame Kodesh to Pasul Kodesh. So they would themselves only be Pasul, but would never be Tameim. There is another approach, which the Rosh says is the way Rashi is understanding it, and that is that it's mitamim. They themselves do not become tamei. They themselves only become pos. Fine, okay, but this is our girsa. This is how Tosafos learns. They're not mitamei other things. Obviously, they can't be chulin, because if they'd be chulin, they wouldn't become in any way affected by such a thing. They'd have to be truma. And then the only thing that we could be talking about, mitamim, is obviously not truma anymore. It would be kodesh. They're not mitamim kodesh, even though the maisa, they may pass okay. Vishar kol hatmeim, but any other type of tumah, meaning the guy is not a tvuyom, now that certainly seems to include a tamei meit, right? A zov, somebody who's a zov, somebody who touched a sheretz, or a dead body. So any other type of tumah, ben kalin, ben chamurin, there, it says, in direct contradiction to the brayta that we just had, there it says that the mashkin that are yotzeim are like the mashkin anogeim, and what is that? That they're a tchila, meaning they're rishon betumah. So we count rishon, sheni, shlishi. They're real tumah. So they're tchila. Except for those types of mashkin, obviously, which are literally an avatuma, that's considered to be the mayanot hatuma. So that's the actual zov. That's the spit. That's the urine. But not those things that would be just coming out as they're generated. Now, I assume, says the Gemara, when you say kalin and chamurin, the kalin are the non-mate, and the chamurin is the mate, right? So, I mean, my kalin and my chamurin. I assume when you say kalin, you mean, let's say, somebody who touched a sheret, or maybe someone who's a zav. And a chamurin would mean the mashkin that just been a mate. In which case, it would be a contradiction to what we just said. You just brought me a bright at the beginning of our sugya, which states that the mashkin hamate are completely tahor. They're not going to be betame at all. And here it says the mashkin of a mate are considered to be tchila. How do you explain that? Says the Gemara, no. I explain it by changing what we mean by kalin v'chamurin. Kalin means sheret, because the sheret is only metame for a day. And then you go to the mikveh for the same day, and you become tor. And chamurin refers to a zav, where you're tame for 7 days. But ein achinami, a mate, is not tame at all, even the rabbanan. Why is that, as the Gemara? Why should we say, I mean, isn't it kal v'chomer? It's the most chomer tumah. Should be more chomer, no? So Mashna Zav, the Gazru Berabanat, to make the Mashkin Rishain, Umashna Mate, the Lo Gazru Berabanan, at all? Answers the Gemara, very simple. A Zav, people are not naturally keeping their distance from. A Zav, Lo Bedili Yin Shimine, Gazru Berabanan. The Rabbanan wanted to make sure you don't come into contact with his spit or with his urine, which might be in the normal circumstances you may not be careful about. Masha Einkein, a mate, people who stays near a mate except the Chevra Kadisha. So a mate, the Bedili Yin Shimine, Lo Gazru Berabanan. Therefore, they didn't find it necessary to make a Gezerah to make the Mashkin Tmeim. Okay, continues the Mishnah with the Machloket. What is the din of a dam that was nitas? So it splattered out of the main area where you were shechting. Generally, you shecht into a little depression in the ground in order to make sure the blood doesn't get all over the floor. But if it splattered out, it splattered on the wall, it splattered on the area of the ground. Or the dam that's literally on the knife, which didn't fall to the ground. So we had a machlok. So according to the Rabbana, we said, you're Mechasa. And Rabbi Yehuda said, you only have to be Mechasa if there's no other dam. If you have dam that you can be Mechasa besides this dam, you don't have to worry about being Mechasa all of the dam. Now we want to go into the Mekaris and the Pasuk for this Machlokas. So turn around. V'chisohu b'machase it, meaning the entirety of dam. It as a unit. That would mean that you have to be Mechasa everything. So Melamed Shedam Hanitaz, Vishala Sakin, Chayav L'chasot. Omar Rabbi Yehuda, when do we say that? Bizvan Shein Sham Dam Elohu. There's no other blood. Im yesham dam shalohu patur melechasot. Now another brayta.
Because it's a mute.
We're going to get into it. Tanya idach vechisahu melamed shekol davar chayav lechasot. Mikan amru damanitaz v'shal agapayim chayav lechasot. So over here, it's the same thing. It just expresses it now more fully. Except that we're going to bring yet a third sheet that we haven't seen. So from here we learn it's a unit. You have to lechas the entire thing. And even mikan amru damanitaz, even if it's splattered, or if it's al ha'agapayim, even if it's on the edges of the animal's neck itself, or others learn agapayim means that it's on the edges of the guma, didn't fall to the ground. Yochayim, whereas here, now instead of a beauty, we find the sheet of a Shem HaGamliel. Omer of Shem HaGamliel, Bameh devarim amurim shalochi sadam ha'nefesh. Now for the first time, we're being mechalek between the dam ha'nefesh, which is that original spurting blood, dam sha'nefesh yotzibo, and the other dam. This was not something that Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan were mechalek in. So, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you don't need to be mechasa kol dam ha'nefesh. You need to be mechasa some of the dam. According to Rabbanan, you have to be mechasa all of the dam, whether it's dam ha'nefesh or not dam ha'nefesh. According now to this new shita of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, you have to mechasa all of the dam ha'nefesh. But once you're mechasa the dam ha'nefesh, continued bleeding or leaking blood comes out around the area, you don't have to worry about it. So if you're mechasa dam ha'nefesh, your potter melechasot. It turns out we have three different shitot now, two of which were mentioned in the Mishnah, the Rabbanan Rav Yehuda. One of them is added by Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. The Maika Miflage, what are they arguing in? Rabbon and Savre Damo means, as we saw, Damo is a unit. Kol Damo or bust. You're going to be mechasad Adam. You're not going to be mechasad Adam. Rav Yehuda holds the word Damo means blood. Not a unit called blood. So whatever. So as long as you're mechasa some dam, you're yaitse. Afilu miktsat damo. Reb Shimon Gamliel sabar damo is a, it's as if it says hadam. The specific dam. Damo ha-miyuchad. What is the dam ha-miyuchad? Dam sha-nefesh yotze bo. Chayot en ofot. You see what spurts up. We had this earlier. Spurts. The first spurting blood. Any blood afterwards that continues to dribble is not called dam ha'nefesh. Agapayim, it is the flanks. In a borrowed sense, it's the flanks of the area that you're shechting. That's all that flanks mean. Okay, we're ready. Okay, b'meh mechasin v'ma'in mechasin. So here we have finally got up to, we know what you have to be mechasa, but what are you going to be mechasa with? What material is kosher for kisui hadak? Mechasin b'zevel hadak. So if you have thin behema droppings, or b'chol hadak, we'll define what we mean by dak. We say thin or finely ground sand, besid, ubecharsit, lime, charsit. Rashi learns, we'll see later on why there's a machloket. Rashi learns it simply means ground up charis. See, later on in the Gemara, it seems, Tosis points out, it seems to be something else. And he learns that it's referred to the type of dirt, which is clay, that you use to make charis, which you might think isn't kosher because it's not things that you plant in. Kamash Malan, that it's also to begadal tzmachim, as we'll see. Ubilaveina, you can use a brick or a migufa, which is a cheres cover to a barrel, that you ground up again. Shekatsha. Aval, ein mechasin lo bezevel hagas, velo bechol hagas, velo bilaveina, ubimigufa, shelo katsha. You cannot use, however, thick animal droppings, or thick sand, or a unground piece of brick, or a covering of a barrel. V'lo yichpeh alav et akli, and you cannot take a piece, let's say a plate, and cover it. So in other words, there's two meanings to the word cover. Cover could mean to make it invisible to the eye, put a piece of paper over it. Or, if paper isn't kosher, put a piece of cheres over it. Cheres is offer. It just doesn't mix with it. It's hard. But why is it that covering it if it's a chisoba offer? So use earthenware. But the other meaning of the word to cover, and in English also we have this ambiguity. We'll see that makes it's a very important point that it's ambiguous. We'll see in how to be dorish the pasuk. Because cover can mean simply not to allow it to be seen. But cover could also mean that it should be mixing along the edges. In other words, absorbed, an absorbing cover. But to cover a wound, we usually understand, means something that's going to mix with the blood of wound, not just to put something over it so you don't see it. It means that there's actual contact. There's two different uses of the word. So therefore, it comes to tell us, kisei of a kli, even if it was made out of something that was kosher to grow in, it still wouldn't be considered to be covering. Klal amar shimon gamlio, davar shemegadel b'tzmachim mechasim bo. If this is something that grows plants in, then you can use it. That's called afar. Afar doesn't mean a particular type of soil. There's many different types of soil. It means soil in the sense of providing nutrients for plants. We'll see that there's even a shita later on that holds that soil has to mean provides nutrients for domesticated plants. So it would have to be something you could plant in, not something only that's megadol tzmachim. Let's say you're in a desert. You may not be able to plant wheat, but there's plenty of wild things that will grow naturally in a desert. Is that considered to be megadol tzmachim? Yes. Is it royal Israel? No. So that, in other words, there's different ways of understanding offer that we're going to be getting. But if it's not megadol tzmachim, ein mechasim bo. You know, we're gonna talk about it. How serious we have to take. The Rambam points out over here in the Pirush HaMishnah is ein lemeinim in aklolim. Even though the Mishnah says this is a klal, we're going to see that there's many things that are not part of the klal. But the reason they're not part of the klal is because we don't learn them out of the word offer. We learn them in the same way. Let's say we'd say that mayim is mash. Okay, but dam is called mayim. We find that other things are called offer, even though they don't fit the guidelines of offer. So let's say we know that gold is called afar. It says afrot zahavlo. It says in Iyo. Okay, so it means gold is afar, just like dam is mayim. It isn't really, but this is the way the Torah tells us. Does that mean that you can plant in gold? No. Does it mean you can use that as a raya that you could grind up nickel? And use it for, no, it's a specific din, which doesn't fit into this klal. So that is true, that the Torah also compares, let's say, burned things, the ephra apara, called afar srefat apara, so that means that it's kosher. Can you plant in it? Lav dafka. So it's ein lemeinim min aklolos, that's true. But there the Torah would have to give you specific reasons why I would include this, even though you haven't learned it out on your own. From the word afar. So we take for granted that when it's giving us a klal, it's giving us a klal as to how we can expand the word afar. It's not telling us that these are the only things that it's roy to you. Ask the Gemara, how do we define it? A very loose term. Thin sand, thick sand. Echidam yichol adar. Omar Rabba Barbarachanam Rabbi Yochanan. Kol she'in ha-yotzer tzarich lekatsha. As long as a manufacturer of kelim, in order to make out of it some type of mixture that will now be able to be used in the formation of a solid kli. So he's using this. He doesn't have to grind it any further. It's thin enough for him to put into a mixture and make a concrete type of thing, and that would be fine. Now, there are some who learn that what Rabba Baruch Hanan Amar Rabbi Yochanan said was said on the contrary, was said on the Seifa, where it says, in this version, the question is, what is chol hagas? And Rabbi Baruch Hanan, Rabbi Yochanan said, anything that would still require grinding is called chol hagas. So kosher tzitzur v'kacher. I mean, is that the same thing? No, it's not the same thing. Because the question is, what if you're right at the edge? It's usable. But there may be additional refinement and a more refined kli that you would still like to grind it further. So there would be the nafkamina. it requires to be thinner, but it doesn't need that it should literally be mechatesh. It's mifrecha frucha. It's soft. If you rub it between your hands, maybe that would be enough. So over there, according to the first lashon, if ain't sorry. So then in the broadest sense, this is ain't sorry. I don't have to do it. If you're telling me, though, in the other sense, that it still might require Katisha, I could use this as being called might require Katisha. It still is begetter, it's Tzorech Makatshe. So the question is, do I keep the edge? Is it part of that's Shayach to Kisui? Or that's not Shayach to Kisui? That depends on these two Lishonot. Tan Ravana v'chisohu. Yoch v'yechasinu ba'avanim. You might think v'chisohu means to make it invisible. Put a pile of rocks over it. Or take a kli and take the kli. The kli would be called offer. So, right, maybe it would be a material that you made a kli. A kli. Or put it over it. No. Talmud lomar be'afar. It has to be dafka in dirt. Okay, so then that would mean actual ground, soil, right? I mean, how do you know you could use Zevel Adak, Ol Adak, Shechikat Avanim, Shechikat Charsit, Noorat Pishtan Daka, Unisoret Shokharashim Daka, Besid. Now, this is a little bit of a problem. Noorat Pishtan and Nisoret Shokharashim, that's sawwood.
What?
Sawwood. Nisoret Shokharashim is a carpenter's, what he's cut.
Sawdust.
I'm sorry, sawdust. So, what does that, I mean, it's great in terms of an easy-to-use material, but does it grow things in it? And the Chora doesn't fit the requirements of the Afar. So here is where the Rambam says that must be in the Medim in Akrolos. Maybe there's other in him. Now, this is not the same in the Medim that has a Ribui Akro. We don't have any indication that sawdust should be considered to be Afar. So, and indeed, there's many who say this is crazy. I mean, there's actually brises that seem to say the opposite, and that this is shrikas Naoris Pishta, and the search of Harashim should be part of the next list that are not kosh, not the bar kosh.
Question of those.
It's a shaila. How exactly? Yeah. So it's definitely a wide open sugya. So how do I know that these things, charsis, the seed charsis, the levena, magufa, which were ground up fine, Talmud Lomar. Therefore, it says v'chiso. Forget about the be'afar. In other words, we're separating the v'chiso and the afar. Why would we do that if it seems to be a klal uprat? That the Gemara is going to ask you. So, be'afar. But obviously, we're darshaning separately the v'chiso and separately the afar. So, if v'chiso, you might think, let's include even zevel hagas, kol hagas, shechikat even of a metal kli, kli matachot, levena megufa shelo katshan. Maybe you could use flour or subin, which is what's left of the after you do the sifting is left behind. The mursam is what's left behind when you're doing the original winnowing. Talmud lomar be'afar. No, it has to be afar. So I understand. Is it v'chiso or is it be'afar? Emara itel rabot et elu lotzi et elu. Ah, because achar shriba katuvu miyet. I marba these things that are types of soil, meaning that can be used to grow in. And motzia niyatelu she'inan min afar. And I will exclude things that cannot be used for growing. But why darshan it like this? Why not take the rule? Why don't you say that v'chiso is a klal and afar is a prat? In which case you have a klal or prat, the rule being ein b'klal elamash of a prat, which means literal soil and nothing else. Afar in miriach rinalo. Omer of mori mishum da'avi klal hatzorech lefrat. V'chol klal hatzorech lefrat ein daninato b'klal lefrat. This is, and this of course itself is one of the rules, klal or prat, you have a klal hatzorech lefrat. What is a klal hatzorech lefrat? A klal hatzorech lefrat is where the prat does not define the material, it defines the meaning of the work. And as I mentioned before, the meaning of the word to cover is very ambiguous, because to cover can mean to keep it away from your eyes. You say that it's covered. You put on a pair of underwear, you're covering the Mokom Erva. But that's not the covering that we're talking about over here. It's not that it should be covered in the sense of invisible as we would use it there in those halakas. It means it's covered in the sense of being connected to and absorbed by, which we use it in a completely different sense. How do I know what sense of the verb is meant? That's the problem. Once I tell you the word be'afar, now I know the sense of the verb. Then I need to darshan separately the contents of what I use to do the covering and the issue of the overall word to cover, which we could cover in any way like this. So memela, the way to be darish a klal, that is enot tzorech lefrat, that is tzorech lefrat, is to take the two words separately. So if it had said, uve afar tachaseu, fine, then that would have meant, use afar. But once I tell you a verb, and that verb does not require at all that there should be a prat, other than to define it correctly, right? What do I mean by b'chisov? I mean to make something attached to it. I don't mean to cover it with a plate. Okay, now that that's true, what material can I use? Now I have two words, b'chisov, a general term, and afar, a specific term. Since the Torah is marbe and memayit, I have to use my brains. What would be included in that ribuy amiyot? So it's beautiful. It's a whole different way of looking at the klal and the prat in this. That's why it remains a completely separate rule of klal hatzarech lefrat. Okay. Dorash Reb Nachman Baruch Chista Ein Machasino B'davar Shezor Inbo Umatzmiach. Now this is the sheet I mentioned earlier. In order to be yotze, you can only use something that is suitable for planting it. Not just that it can be megadol tzmachim that are specifically evolved to use this type of soil. But let's say in a desert, you have things that will grow in a desert. But if you won't be able to plant in it, then it's not going to be considered to be done. Omar Rava, that's ridiculous. I burcha, that's a joke. Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, excuse me, a joke? Ha! I don't understand why it's a joke. I happen to be the makor of this so-called joke. And I don't like a thing called a joke. My burchate, but burchate is a lot worse than a joke. It means more like it's borscht. It's a bunch of borscht. It's ridiculous. Where'd you get that from? Anamri Taniale, I happen to be the one who told over to Reb Nachman Baruch Chista this halacha. And I have a very good right. Mi'amat nitamri Taniale. I said it to him. From a Mefarshim Raita, it says like this. Somebody is walking through the desert. Hayamahalish Bamidbar. Ve'ein lo afar l'chasot. Now, does that make sense? I mean, you're walking through the Midbar, and you don't have any dirt to do kisvei adam. And you want to shecht an animal or a bird. What is that supposed to mean? How can you not have afar in a Midbar? Well, what do? Shochek dinar zahav u'mechaseh. Take a coin out of your pocket, grind it up, and use the coin to do the mitzvah. But meanwhile, you see, it's possible not to have afar. Must be because that's not called afar. Hayam alech basvina. There you are traveling in a boat, and you don't have any afar. So take your talis, burn up your talis, and use the ashes to be mechasa. So bishlam esoreif talito v'chaseh. How are you, I understand how you'd be yotze, because Afer, even though it's not offer, Afer is called offer. Now we're going to see from Me'afar Srefat Apara. You see that burning things, that's an extension of the concept, not part of the rule. It's because I call ash offer. But Dinar Zahav, why would it Dinar? Dinar Zahav certainly doesn't grow things. So why wouldn't it be called, we said the first before, clay matachot that you grind up, your aluminum kettle, it's not going to be kosher for kisri. Why is gold any different than aluminum? Reb Zera, because of the pasuk, va'afrot zahav lo. Za'afrot zahav means that gold is called afar. But meanwhile, you see that indeed it's possible that you could be surrounded by water everywhere and nothing to drink. You're surrounded by offer everywhere. And the only thing you could do to be mechaseh the dam is to grind up a gold coin. So how do you explain that? Unless the problem is, this is the wrong type of afar. It doesn't, you can't use it to be zorea. It won't be megadol wheat.
Huh?
Yes, but the gold coin, you have a pasuk that says afrot zahav. And over here we defined the afar as meaning roi for begada. So okay, but that's not natural. You have to put in other things. But this is the point that our president was making about sea salt, about sea sand. In other words, the issue is like this. The reason why did Rava say it's bukhat? Why is it idiotic? It makes a lot of sense. He's just telling you a different definition of offer. So obviously the point of here is we don't deal with each particular type of soil. Soil is soil. Once you've already included chol as soil, it doesn't matter. This particular chol happens to be infected with something else. It's got too much salt in it or whatever. That's not the issue. So clean it out or add nutrients, as Richie is saying. There's a general definition. To get into the detail about whether in this particular soil I would be able to be megal tzvachim. See, Rava doesn't argue, perhaps, even on offer of a midbar, if it's in the midbar. This wasn't called the offer, but to say that this particular piece of dirt that I took, I tried planting it and it doesn't work. Numbamela. So that's too much salt in it. Numbamela, it's been depleted of nitrogen. Nafkamina, that's not the issue. It has to be a class name. That's the point. That he's saying. So don't give me a klal that it's megadol, that it megadol tzvachim is not enough. It has to be dafke shezor imbo. Sorry?
An oasis.
Soil. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe because there's other things there. Okay. It continues, as we know, Ben Gurion's vision of the oasis of the Negev. What about the Afer? Let's see that it's actually a machlok. Son Rabban. In Bechasin Ella Be'afar. The poshita meaning of afar is literally afar. Divrei Beit Shammai. If you burn up your talit, it could be Bechasin. That's not afar. Beit Hillel Omrim. Matzinu Afer Shikruya Afar Shinema Velakhu Latame Mi Afar Srifata Para. This is dust to dust, ashes to ashes. Lachar has no connection. What does dust have to do with ashes? You see from here that the Torah considers to be the Srefa of the Para to be called Ofer. A very strange way to use Ofer. So you see that the overall meaning of Ofer includes ash. Beit Shammai. What does Beit Shammai do with that pasuk? Indeed, it's called Afar. No, it's not called Afar. It's called Afar Srefa. Mi Afar Srefa Tapara. If it would have said Mi Afar Hapara. Okay, then obviously Afar is called Afar. But there may be called a synonym for ash, which is the soil of burning. Okay, but that's not stam soil. So afar srefa ikri. But you'll never find that ash is called stam afar. Afar stam alo ikri. Tana in the Braita says that they were mosif to be machshir of sifu alayhem, ground up coal, hashachor, akhol, that women use for eyeshadow, the nikrat pisulin. And that is where you grind out, when a grindstone becomes filled with material, which is a mixture of grain remnants, rock, ground rock, soil. That which you grind, you take out with a little knife and pick to make it once again a grindstone, that's kosher. The yesh omrim af hazarnich, which is the yellow, the source of yellow dye, which Rashi says urpiment, which is basically arsenic sulfide. It's a type of mineral. A mineral is also considered to be afar. Amar Rava, Bishar Shamar Avram Avinu, Vanochi Afar Ve'efer. Oh, interesting. So here, he calls himself dust and ash. So because he was memayit himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vanochi Afar Ve'efer, Zachu Banav Shtei Mitzvot. Two mitzvot were given to his children. Efer Para, and the afar of the sota. Asks the Gemara, what about the afar we've been talking about over here for kisui adam? No, but that, what do you say? His children were zeicha. I mean, what do they get out of that? They have to do another mitzvah. What's that? That's a heksha mitzvah. Where's the hanoah of the mitzvah? So from the din of Efer Porah, you're able to be metayer yourself. That's great. From the din of Ofer Sotah, you're able to be restore the Sholem Bayis. That's Hana'ah. Over here, you just have extra mitzvah. V'yoga Rava, b'schar shamar Avram Avinu, imichut v'yatsuch nal. I wouldn't take a darn thing out of Sodom. Not a piece of string to a shoelace. Zochu banav l'shtei mitzvot. There too, his children were zocher for the chut of tchelet on their tzitzit and the ritzu'ah of tefillin. Nu. So over here, what's the big hana'ah that you have? So bishlam, I understand the ritzu'ah shel tefillin, which is like a lace. So there it says, v'ra'u kol amei ha'aretz k'shem Hashem nikra alecha v'yaru mimecha. So that's a sense of kavod that Yisrael is given by the Ummah Sa'ilah. That's hana'ah, as Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol said, elu tefillin shebarosh. But what's the hana'ah of chutzot tchelet mayi? The Tanya, Rabbi Meir Omer, ma nishtanet tchelet mikol tzivonim? What is so special about tchelet that the Torah wants it on your tzitzit? It's because the tchelet reminds you of the color of the yam. The yam reminds you of the color of the rakia. The rakia reminds you of the color of Evan Sapir. And Evan Sapir is ben melekise akovei. Dechtiva yiru et Elohei Yisrael. V'tachat raglav kemaasei limnat ha-sapir. So it's like a sapphire. Uchetzem ha-shamayim letoa. Uchsiv kemare Evan Sapir demut kisei. Which teaches us that the Shechina is reminded of Yisrael and of mitzvahs with the actual Kisei HaKoveh. That's a tremendous hana'ah that Klal Yisrael has. Tzanat, kol mashkeha meitaurin chutz bidamo, v'chol mareh admumit shebo, metamim bo'ol. Mashkeha meitaurin, how could that be? V'raminu, mashkeh tvuyom, ki mashkin shenogea behem, v'elu v'elu, ein metamim, but shar kol atmeim, ben kalin, ben chaporin, if it's not a tfuyom, which ostensibly should include a maid, mashkin ayotzi meyem ki mashkin anogea behem, ve'elu ve'elu atchila, chutz min amashk, which is literally the mayonot, like the roke, or like meimei raglav, or like shichva zaro, or zovo. So there, that's obvious, that's an avatuma, we're not talking about that. The din being, elu ve'elu atchila, and that's exactly the opposite. I assume my calling, my chabur, is my love, calling is sheretz and zav, and chamur is mate. No. Calling is sheretz, chamur is zav, but mate, there's no gzer of tuma. Maishna zav, the gazer berabona, who maishna mate, the lo gazer berabona. Zav, the lo bedile in shemine, gazer berabona. Mate, the bedile in shemine, lo gazer berabona. Dama nitaz vishala sakin, ten rabona. Vichisahu as a unit. Malamit shadama nitaz, vishala sakin is part of one thing called dam. You have to be chas of the whole thing. Omer Yehuda imatai, bizvan she'im shon dam alohu. I certainly agree it's included in the dam, but it doesn't mean you have to be chas all of the dam. Yesham dam shalohu, patur melechasot. Tanya edach vichisahu malamit shekol davar chayav lechasot. This is the makor mikan amru dam nitaz, or shalagapayim. Chayav lechasot. Om Reb Shimon Gamliel, Bamei Dvarim Amurim, Shelo Chisad Dam HaNefesh. Third Shita. Avo Chisad Dam HaNefesh, Potur Melechasot. B'mai Kabifle, okay? Rabbanan Savre Domo means Kol Domo. Reb Yudah Savre Domo means Sam Dam. Vil Mixat Domo. Reb Shimon Gamliel Savre Domo means Domo HaMiuchad. That is to say the Dam HaNefesh. Bamem mechasin v'amayin mechasin mechasin b'zevel adak b'chol adak b'sir b'charzik l'vein av gufa. All of the above that were mekadshan. Avalein mechasin lo b'zevel agas or b'chol agas or b'lvein av gufa shelo kitshan. V'lo yichpe alav atakli. Klal am Reb Shimon Gamliel. Davar shemegadel bo tzemachim mechasin bo. She'ino megadel tzemachim ein mechasin bo. Hechi dami chol adak. Omer Rabba Bar Bachon Omer Reb Yochanan kol she'ina yotzer tzarich lekadsho. Ve'ikir amatim la'seifa. Ein bechassin lo bezevel agas, v'lo bechol agas, heichidom bechol agas, omer abar b'chan rabbi Yochanan, kol shayot tzor tzorich lakadsho. Mai binayu, ikven ein tzorich v'lo tzorich, demir v'chif ruche, ton rabban avriso yoch, yechassan be'avanim, o yichpe alav atakli, tamud omer be'afar, ein li'ala afar, minayin l'rabot zevel adak, chol adak, shrikat avanim, shrikat charsit, na'oret pishtan daka, nisorot shel charashin daka, sit, charsit, v'ina begufa shekatshan, talmud lomar v'chisohu, yocho shanimar v'ham zevel agas, chol agas, shrikat klimat achot, l'v'ina begufa shel lo, katshan v'kemach, subin imursa, talmud lomar be'afar, nu, umar ra'it l'rabot et elu, lotzi et elu, achar shriba, katuv, v'miyeit, Why not just say v'chiso is a klal, afar is a prat, klal or prat, ain't beklal al mashu v'prat, afari, midiach min yalo, omrev mori, mishudavi klal hatzorech v'frat, v'chol klal hatzorech v'frat, ain't danirato beklal or prat. Dorosh shudnacho barachista, ain't b'chasino b'dover shezor imbo, umatzmiach. It's not enough that it's matzmiach tzmachim, that naturally grow in it, Omar Rav is ridiculous. Omar Rav Nachman by Yitzhak Larava, my burkhate, it happens to be that Ana Amrita Neale, and I have a very clear raya meyamatit Amrita Neale, Hayam Alech Bamidbar, Ve'en lo afar lechasot, Shochek dinar zafen bechase, Hayam Alech besfina, Ve'en lo afar lechasot, Sorev talito umechase. By the way, I mean, Bishlam Asarev Talito Mechaseh, that's because Ashkenef Adikri offer, but a dinner Zahav, how would that be offer? Omrib is there from a Pusik, Va'afrod Zahavlo. Tan Rabbanin Mechasin Ela Be'afar Divri Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel Omrim Matzino Efer Shekorui offer, Shevachulata Be'mi Afar Srefat Apara. Beit Shammai? No. Afar Srefa is one thing. Afar Stoma is another thing. Afar Stoma lo Yikri. Tana, Osifo Lehem HaShachor, HaKechol, Nikrata Pisulin, V'yeshumim HaFazarnich. Omer Rav Bischarsh, Omer Avram Avinu Manochi Ofer, V'Efer Zochu Baram V'Shtei Mitzvot, Efer Poravi Ofer Sota, Likshem Nami Ofer Kisui Adam, No, Hata Mehechshem Mitzvah Ika, but where's the Hana'a? V'Omer Rav Bischarsh, Omer Avram Avinu, Imi Chut V'Atzruch Nahal, Zochu Banav L'Shtei Mitzvot, So Bishlev Rutsua Shel Tefillin, I know, has a Hana'a. K'tiv Ra'u Kol Ami'aretz K'shem Hashem Nikra Alecha V'yir'u Mimecha. V'tani Rav Elezer HaGadol Omer, Elu Tefillin Sheberosh. But Chut Shel Tefillin, Ma'i? V'tani Rav Meir Omer, Ma'an Ishtana Tefillin Mikol HaTzivonim. V'vdei Shel Tefillin Dome L'Yam. V'yam Dome L'Rekia. V'Rekia Dome Leven Sapir. V'Even Sapir Dome L'Kisei HaKavod. In which case is maskir zocher Yisrael with the schus of this mitzvah.
That was the recording from the 12th cycle, today's Daf Yomi. Here is the recording of the previous cycle, cycle number 11 of the equivalent daf. Quite a different ambience, quite a different attendance. You may like to review the daf with it, or perhaps use it as your actual initial learning. Enjoy.
That will grow. If you planted it, then you can be mechasim. But she'eino megadel tzmachim in mechasim. If it's something that won't grow, then you can't use it to cover.
And you expect to use shelo kachan to cover roads around archaeological sites, taking pieces of broken pottery and covering them. So
it would, oh, really?
Yeah, it's back in use as a. You won't be able to keep to your dam, but I can say that's a megufa shelo kachan.
I mean, because it doesn't interfere with anything. It's and easily just lifted.
There's dust or there's mud, this way you're protected. Uh-huh. Just pouring it down on the.
Hechi edomi chol hadak. I mean, it's a rather vague notion, the difference between chol hadak and chol hagas. So what exactly defines chol hadak as opposed to chol hagas? Says Rabba Baba, Chanan Rabbi Yochanan, somebody who's doing worship pottery, if he can use this coal and he doesn't have to grind it any further, then that's considered to be a coal hadak. Now, there are those who invert this, and they say it on the last part of the Mishnah, you can imagine La Seifa, Aval Ein Mechassin Lo B'Sevel HaGas V'Lo B'Kol HaGas, and there they ask it in the other direction, what is called Kol HaGas. In this version, Rabbi Barbar Chanan Rabbi Yochanan said the same thing in the inverse. Kol HaGas is Kol Shayotzer Tzarich HaKatsha, whatever would need to be ground up further before it could be used in manufacture. And what's the difference between these two Lashonot Rabinayu? The difference would be that if you say Eino Tzarech, in other words, we're talking about what is considered to be Chol Hadak, that which is Eino Tzarech is called Chol Hadak. So then something which doesn't absolutely require grinding because it's loose and you can rub it in your hands, then that would be considered to be Chol Hadak. Whereas according to the second Lashon, Chol Hagas, anything that requires any type of grinding would include this as well. You have to be kodesh. It's actually, there's some that learn it in the exact opposite way. But this is how Rashi learns. Toda Rabbanam v'fisahu, yoko yechasinu v'avanim v'yechasinu v'takli. If it would have just said v'fisahu, now that could have included a completely different type of kisui, covering from view might have meant by the word v'fisahu. So you could take a kli and turn it upside down, the pot, turn it upside down, or take a stone and put it on top of it. How do we know that it means covering in the other sense? Now, if that's the case, in the ela afar, how do you know that it means anything but actual dirt? This is a new one, by the way. We're talking about now Noret Pishtan, we didn't mention before, which is after you've broken up the flax, you have this broken up dust that covered the pods. In the Soret Shokara Shindaka, correct. Or sawdust, also another thing we didn't discuss before. The seed, the Kharsit, and the Vina, and the Gufa, Shikakshan, Talmud Lomar, the Fisahu. Therefore, it says v'chisahu, which we darshan separately, because if we meant dafke ba'afar, then we should have said v'shafach damo u'ba'afar yechasel. In other words, using dirt, you can be matas. We say v'chisahu means v'chisahu. Be'afar is then meant to define the type of v'chisahu, which is actually, as we'll see in a moment, why we don't darshan it as a klal uprat, because we need to define first types before we define materials. We'll talk about this in a moment. So therefore, we dash v'chiso separately, and then yochel, if it says v'chiso, yochel shami marbe avzevel agas, chol agas, shechikat kli matachot, perhaps even grinding up metal would be called covering it. Olivei migufa shalokat v'sham. And how about kemah? How about using like flour? That's pretty good. Or Subin, or Murasan would use the bran, or we could use the crushed pieces from the flour, straw. Talmud Lomar be'afar. Now, wait a minute. This seems very arbitrary. So, Mara itel rabota te'evlo tziyat ilo. Etelo. I mean, you have over here the chisahu as a ribui, and you have be'afar as a definition. Well, achar shiribaha tefuf umi eit. Then it stands to reason that marva amiyatelo shehein min afar. All of these things are called afar in some sense, and we'll have to define that further. Umotze amiyatelo shehein min afar. Now, why don't we just ask it as a klal prat? If he saw, you said as a klal, which would mean anything, and then you say afar as a prat. Well, there the rule is that it's very limiting. Klal prat ain't beklal elamash of a prat. It would have to use afar and nothing else. Afar inu mini achrinilo. Omer of Mori, I'll tell you, it's very simple. We should have a klal hatzarich lefrat. The whole klal hatzarich lefrat in the minuto beklal uprat. The question of a klal uprat would be if the word v'chiso were limited in its application to mean, let's say, covering by spreading over. Let's say you spread over, let's say it would have said, instead of covering. So then, enochinami, it would have said, spread over dirt. It would have meant only dirt, because I would have understood spreading as a klal and dirt as a prat. Problem over here is that you use an ambiguous word, which is v'chiso, that has two different types of kisui meaning. could mean spreading something over it, and it could mean hiding it. Now, in order to define the word, I have to use something that's going to explain to me, by becoming the object of that verb, what type of verb I meant. Therefore, you can't look at the object of the verb as being defining a material. So it's not really a prop. So when it says what you saw be'afar, it's not meant to be donned as a separate klal which could stand on its own, followed by a prop which now limits it. It's a klal prop combination. So now we have elements of the kiso be'afar that are broad, any type of kiso, and that's simply because of the way it's arranged. In other words, in the alternative, which is be'afar yechaseno, it would have been well defined. The kiso be'afar is not well defined because it's only defining the type of kiso without really necessarily defining in a limited way the material. So we have to reach a balance. Therefore, this is the balance that we've reached. Things that are included under the very general rubric of afar. We'll see what that means now. So, Dorash or Nachum Baruch Chisda. So, Nachum Baruch Chisda got up and he says in a drasha, he says, "Ein mechasin ala b'davash zor in bo matzniach." Seems to me that anything that you could plant in and it would grow, that would be included in afar. But anything that won't grow if planted, is not considered to be afar. Oh my Rabbi, hi Burka, that's bull. I'm going to knock on my Rav Yitzchak. Now, unfortunately, it was the wrong person that was overheard that, because Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says to Rav, "Oh, is that so? My Burkhate, I'd appreciate if you explained to me what is so bull about that. Happens to me that I'm the source of it. And I was the one who taught that to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. And I had a very good reason for saying it, because Mihamat Nita Amritanel, it was from the following that I taught it to him. It says, I am a Haleb Banidbar. A guy is walking along in the desert, Ve'inlo Afar Lekasot, and he doesn't have any usable Afar. Now that's because the Midbar, as we're assuming over, you're talking about thick sand, or a type of Melecha. You could have Adama Melecha that nothing is going to grow in. So, okay, you don't have what to be Mechaseh with. Well, there's always an Eitzah, you know. You could take your dinar zahav, take a $200 golden coin, and you could grind it up, and then you can be Mechaseh your mitzvah, Mechaseh. Or if you're, let's say you're on a boat, say a Mahalak Bishvina, you don't have anything to be Mechaseh, it's okay. Strip, burn your clothes, and then you've got some good ashes. You can use that to be mechaseh. And then you could go ahead and sorev talito, mechaseh. Now, I argued as follows. Bishlema sorev talito mechaseh. Okay, you want to burn your clothes, be mechaseh. That's because the word afar is often interchanged in the Torah with afer. So afer and afar we could see used exchangeably. So Ashkham Afer Dikre Afar. But a dinner zahav. How do we get a dinner zahav? Minolan. Omer Rebbe Zera. The only way we could do that was the afrot zahav lo. Since we find zahav mentioned as a type of afar, so we can use it as an afar. Now, my contention is, on the surface, the more it makes no sense. We're trying to prove that the definition of afar is something that you can plant and it will grow. And you cannot plant in golden coins and expect it to grow, even if they're ground up. So when he comes along and says that I taught it then from this brisa, I mean, the brisa seems to be saying is only that whatever is called afar in the Torah. It's called offer, but it doesn't expand on the general sense of offer. So how exactly are we supposed to be learning from here? There's other problems from elsewhere that Tosis brings in that makes this clear. And he shows that from the word afrot zahavlo, if it wouldn't be that we were willing to expand the concept of afar to mean anything which could be called afar, we would never have said that a dinner zahav is called afar because of afrot zahav. It's not like all artificial kind of a mayim that we're going to say blood and water are the same thing. Because you first need, just because afrot zahav could simply mean the word ground up zahav. It doesn't necessarily mean it's the same din as afar that is mentioned by the Kisa
B'Afar. Gold dust.
Yeah, exactly, gold dust. He made it like dust. Yeah. I mean, that has nothing to do with actually Isur. Unless the Brisa has already made the assumption that when I use this mixed klalu prat of the Kisa B'Afar, it's really to expand on the notion of afar. And it's saying, look, afar doesn't necessarily mean dirt. Afar means things that you could relate to as dirt. Therefore, I'm saying this, look, you can relate to things as dirt when the Torah calls them dust. You can relate to them as dirt if you're able to take them and put them in your planter. You say, give me some dirt for planting. Doesn't mean it's a technical definition anymore. Once it's not a technical definition, it is not borut to say that something that could be planted in and would grow is certainly included under the general rubric of afar. That's what he's bringing as a raya from this raya. So just misunderstand. Tana Rabbanan, ein mechasin ela be'afar, literally, divrei Beit Shammai. Whereas Beit Hillel omrim, no, matzino efer shekarui afar. We found that it's just v'lachulat tamei mi'afar sreifat afara. I mean, last I heard, if you burn the sreifat, the sreifat afara becomes afar, not afar. So why is the Torah calling it mi'afar sreifat afara? Beit Shammai says it's true. It's called afar sreifat. Afar sreifat is a synonym for afar, but it's not called afar. All that is saying is similar to afrot zahav, thus of the burning. So you can't bring a riot that would be included under the term afar itself.
Sorry, stupid question. Why did it say afar sreifa afar?
Why didn't it say what?
That the ashes of sreifa are called afar. Why does it say afar sreifa is called afar?
It's the word. Yes, you're very much missing something. We're talking about the word afar sreifa tapara.
Right.
So Beit Shammai says the word afar sreifa is indeed something which is afar. But the word afar and afar are in no way interchangeable.
And what does he mean to say by that? He means to say that the ashes of...
It doesn't mean anything. It means absolutely nothing. He means to say that when the Torah uses the word afar sreifa, it's not the same as using the word afar. That's all he's saying. Don't go so deeply into it. There's a term called afar sreifa. And afar sreifa equals afar. It's a way of saying afar, which has nothing to do with saying that there are synonyms called afar of afar. They're not synonymous in any way. So if the Torah by Kisui Adam insists on afar, it insists on afar. Not on afar and not on afar sreifa. But afar stama lo ikri. Where do we ever see, says Beit Shammai, that we can interchange the terms of afar and afar to say that stam afar would be called afar? Tan, hosifu aleihem. By the way, the machlokes Beit Shammai Beit Hillel here is may possibly exist outside of the discussion that we just had about b'chisol and b'afar. In other words, one way in which we address Beit Shammai's objection, at least the way Tosfos is learning, is by pointing out that we've already seen in the first that the Torah doesn't mean to define afar technically. In which case, on that level, Beit Hillel is saying, okay, but generally speaking, the same way it's called afrod zahav, it could be called afrod sefa. And it's also a type of afar. Tana, hosifu aleihem. Now, the Brisa says, look, you know, I mean, once we've already established this, then you could even include... you can take your barbecue and what's left after you have that little black stuff. So you have the shachor, or you have the kachol, which would be a mineral, or not carrots, be saline. When you go and you take a little pick in order to get your millstone back into good shape, and when it fills up, you pick out all of the things that have gotten in between in order to make it now grindy again. And you can, and some say even zarnich, which is upermen, which is also a mineral. And that too is considered to be afar. Amar Rabba Bishar Shamar Avram. So basically what we've ended up with, the way that we're understanding it, I must tell you, there is a machloket rishonim as to whether these things are Megadol Tzmachim. In other words, the Rambam takes for granted that these things are not Megadol Tzmachim. We're talking about even the case we had before of Nisar Pishtan or sawdust, or whoever heard of planting in sawdust. But they don't, you can't plant in them. No, they don't grow. They grow only in hydroponics. But that's because those things are growing in water. They're just used for holding the roots. Exactly. So in other words, you see that we have two completely different standards. One of them, and that's exactly what Nachman was pointing out. When you say that was bull, you were saying that I'm actually defining the nature of Afar in a technical way as something that's Megadol Tzmachim. You missed my point. And actually, it makes a great deal of sense. What I'm saying is that we have a broad concept called Afar, which could mean things that you would plant in, or things that are known as Afar, or things that are sort of ground up and dirt-like. Any of those things. That's all that I was saying. I wasn't giving an explanation. I was saying specifically that something that has to be something that's regarded as Tzmachim.
It was identifying one extension of the concept.
Correct.
So how about the excrement of bull? I mean,
that's included in Zeba. It's included in Zeba. Zeba is compost of anything. The truth is, manure in English does not mean necessarily excrement. But anyway, so the original meaning of it, to manure a field, the verb, I mean, would be to take compost and spread it. That would include organic matter, leaves and excrement, and so everything that you would mix together, then you would spread it over the field. So the idea of zebo is very, very much, in English, the idea of manure. It's gotten into people who are not used to organic farming think manure means necessarily excrement of animals, but that's not true. Well, you muck out a barn. It's not all excrement. You have mixtures of it, straw, and things have been in the feed troughs and that you've used to cover up the floor of the barn and so on. All of that is called zevel, together with anything that you would have thrown into a heap. No, it's not going to hold anything. Omar Rav, Biskar Shamar Abraham Avinu Vanoti Afar Va'efer. Zachu banav b'shtei mitzvot, Efer parah v'afar sota. Because Avram Avinu saw himself as afar v'efer, it's interesting that afar v'efer in a sense are opposites. So the afar is something that hasn't achieved anything, but it's full of potential. Efer is something that may have been something once, and there's nothing left in it. So in essence, it's literally, I mean, both ends sort of wipes them out from either end. You could say maybe I became something, but if I did, then it's just Afer. So he was Zocha to two different things. One of them is Afer Para, which indeed is Mitakein, the end product, so to speak. So it's death. It's a tikkun of mortality. And Afar Sota, which indeed assures the beginning. I think the Beis Halevi points this out. Because the Sota now, Afar Sota prepares the way for her fertility, basically the way Afar itself is. So he said, well, why not include the offer of Kisui Hadar? We're right in the Sota, we're just ignoring it? Yes. Because the point is not that he was Zocha to mitzvahs as mitzvahs, but he was Zocha to get something out of the mitzvah. That's the point. But what do you mean by Kisui Hadar? What's the offer in Kisui Adam? It's not the mitzvah, it's the Hechsher mitzvah of Kisui Adam. Is there any pleasure in that? And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have said, take a pressure cooker and turn it upside down, it would have made a difference, whether it's Ba'afra, whether it's a pressure cooker. But there's no Hana'as, Hana'alek. Mashenkin over here, where you're talking about the mitzvah of Paraduma, over there, of course, it's being Machsher me, it's being Matayer me, it's giving me back my wife, the offer site. It's a bracha of Nizra Zera, and so on. That's a Hana. V'yomar Rava, B'tzchar Shamar Avram Avinu, Yimichut V'atzruch Nal, because of Avram Avinu's rejection of the Melech Sodom's Rechush, Zachu Banav L'Shtei Mitzvot, Lechut Shal Techelet, and just like the Suruk Na'al is supposed to tie your Na'al on, the Ritzu'ah Shal Tefillin ties on your Tefillin. Tavishnei b'ritzua shel tefillin, I understand that that is not just a mitzvah, that's hanaa. Why? Because k'tiv v'ra'u kol amei ha'aretz b'shem Hashem nikra alecha, v'tanya Rabbi Eliezer ha'gadol omer, elu tefillin shebarosh. So the fact that it earns you the respect, that anybody who looks at you has a sense of awe of what it means to be a ben brit, that's mishalech b'tefillin, that's definitely a hana'a the mitzvah, not just a hafshir mitzvah. But the shkutshot chelet, what exactly do you get out of the shkutshot chelet? I mean, that's like a kisidah. You have a chiyah, fine. So you have a chiyah. Why do you call that a hana'a and you say that it's biskar? Since you've already established that we're only talking about those things that a person is Avraham Avinu was zoka to in the sense of getting some benefit out of it, mind. The Tanya Rabbi Meir Omer, Rabbi Meir points out that actually Tchelet does give us something very special. Manish Tana Tchelet Mikol HaTivoni Mipnei SheTchelet Dome LeYam VeYam Dome LeRikia Rikia Dome LeEven Sapir. And we know that the Even Sapir is the Dmut Kisei. Even Sapir Dome LeKisei HaKavod Tichtiva Yiru Et Elohi Yisrael V'Tachat Raglav Ke Mareh Even Sapir Dmut and Ke Maaseh V'Gdat HaSapir. And we have in Yechesto Ke Mareh Even Sapir Dmut Kisei. So therefore, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the Kisei HaKavod, then is in touch with this mitzvah as we do it, so it becomes a zecher. The same way it's a zecher for us, it becomes a zikoron for him of us in our mitzvah, so that's obviously a hana'a for us. Should we just finish it? No. It goes on for quite a while, so we'll enjoy this tomorrow.